Welcome to The Dream Chases Set, and as the sun starts to set on the horse racing spring carnival, we move to the biggest and the best greyhound racing carnival in Australia, the Dream Chases Festival. It's a pleasure to be joined by two of the best in the business, great blokes and also great judges of greyhound racing, Mr. Corey Smith and Mr. Jason Patch Adams. Boys, how are you? Welcome into the Dream Chases Set.
Going well, Rich. Pleasure to be on with you. Hopefully we can find a few winners for the punters over the next few weeks and talk about some of the exciting dogs that will be doing battle across Sandown and the Meadows, of course, over the next 6 or so weeks.
Outstanding. I'm excited. Patch, how are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm well. Thanks, Rich, and good to be part of the show. I mean, it is Christmas for the purists out there this time of the year. I mean, it's one opportunity to showcase the sport and the best of it, but also enjoy, I mean, some of the superstars going around on the biggest night. So it's going to be great.
Fantastic. This is your debut in the den, mate, so welcome.
I've been chasing you for a while,
but it's good to pull it all together. So why don't we have a opening chat about what people can expect from the show each week. So let's throw a graphic up and we'll talk it through. So obviously we'll give full coverage over the 6 weeks of the Dream Chasers Festival. And very much like our Saturday set show, we'll preview the feature races. We've got three to preview today, three big group ones. And then, of course, we'll give people an all-important set of tips and a few betting angles to help them with their weekend punting. Boys, I might cross over to you now. Let's have a look at the Dream Chasers Festival sort of in its entirety. I've got the bones of it there. And can you just, one of you, jump in and tell me a little bit about the festival? Maybe you, Patch.
Yeah, well, it's the biggest thing that happens, I want to say, in greyhound racing nationwide, because it is. It's a series where we start with the Top Gun this Saturday night, and from a Dream Chasers Festival point of view, and what you'll see on racing.com, we then move into the Melbourne Cup heats, the Melbourne Cup after that, and of course, the big culmination is the Phoenix. So it's an opportunity for us to showcase the best of what our sport can offer. It's sort of not every week we get the chance to do that, but I think during this period of time, people get a glimpse at it. They get a bit of understanding of what it's all about and think this is pretty good stuff. So, and for blokes like Smithy and I, we really sink our teeth into the best of what our sport can offer.
And, Corey, there was a big announcement. Another Phoenix slot holder has been announced. We know Cumbria Jack's gone, but can you tell us about the big slot announcement today?
Yeah, so Cumbria Jack went to Metro Jetting a few weeks ago now, and this morning Barefoot Zulu locked in thanks to Sportsbet. So the slots are really starting to take shape for the Phoenix. Those that have no idea what the Phoenix is, it's essentially Greyhound Racing's answer to the Everest. This will be the fifth edition. It is the world's richest greyhound race. And just like the Everest, the slot holders have got to apply for a slot. Once they get one, they've got to pick a dog. And we've had two dogs get selected so far, as you mentioned, Cumbria Jack and then Barefoot Zulu, who is the third fastest dog to ever go around the Meadows. So he's a very, very fast animal. This will be a big rising class for him, but he's certainly got the ability. And I can't wait to see him strut his stuff in 6 weeks or so time.
Outstanding, boys. Why don't we get into the feature races? And could I be right in saying that the Top Gun has a bit of a Cox Plate feel about it? The best dogs around Australia come. Is that a fair appraisal?
Yeah, absolutely. That's definitely the way that it probably lines up if you're looking for a thoroughbred comparison. It's a hand-selected race. So the MGRA, the Melbourne Greyhound Racing Association, puts together an expert panel from all across Australia to make some decisions and pick the right dogs for the race. And they've done that this year. It was probably a difficult year to try and compile some dogs with some retirements, some injuries, all that sort of stuff going on. But it certainly... They've managed to come up with a really nice race and plenty of talkability out of it. And most importantly, a very, very competitive betting race.
Unreal. Well, why don't we start with the Top Gun Sprint? There's a dominant favourite, Mally Beauty. And Patch, you wanted me to play her last start, which was on Cox Plate Day. Let's watch a jump from box four and I'll let you talk about her, mate. Away you go.
Well, she's a superstar from South Australia and you only have to go back and look at her winning strike rate and her form in South Australia to know she is that. She was the Adelaide Cup winner, but I wanted to highlight this race because it is so important for these greyhounds that do their finest work outside of Victoria to come down here and replicate what they've been able to do on their home deck. So, look, I thought she showed in this race here, which was her last start, it wasn't the Meadows, that she's not exactly a flat track bully. So, importantly, out of that replay as well, she wanted to step to the outside part of the track just slightly when the boxes rose. So from box one on Saturday night, will that be hairy up against the best field she's ever met? We'll wait and see. But it's certainly so hard to fault anything she's done so far in her career.
Outstanding. Corey, do you want to give me your overall appraisal of the race?
Yeah, it's a really interesting market. Obviously, Mallee Beauty, every time in greyhound racing you see a dog go into box number one, particularly when they've got the sort of talent that Mallee Beauty has, you just think this dog's probably going to win. But as Patch just mentioned, on box one, maybe not the super ideal sort of scenario for her. She's got a bit of early speed on her outside in a riser sparkle. Slick Splits will come into the race from box number four after the scratching and subsequent retirement of the $1 million chase champion in Power and Glory. So there's a bit of speed on her outside. She's going to have to do absolutely everything right. But as we've seen over her last 20-odd starts, where she's won about 18 of them, she does plenty of things right. And in this sort of company, she will have to step well to avoid that sort of early speed on her outside.
Do you have a play in the race, mate? If you have to have a bet, what would you do?
Yeah, from a betting perspective, I think the one that's overs is Flying Zulu. Jason Thompson has won five or six of these races, and he knows how to prepare a dog for these big races. Flying Zulu from a wide draw, you probably think that's not an ideal sort of setup, but there's not a huge amount of speed drawn out wide. We just spoke about the speed drawn low, but in five, six, and seven, none of those dogs really show that blistering early speed or haven't shown it for a little while at the very least. So I think Flying Zulu is going to get his crack, and he's an older dog. He's won over $1 million in prize money. He's been an absolute superstar, but it's probably flown under the radar from a market perspective. And I just think he's worth having something very small, particularly on an each way basis from the wide draw.
Fantastic. Patch, do you want to finish the race off for us? If you had to have a bet, what would you do?
Oh, I'll be tipping Slick Splits. I mean, he goes in as the greyhound that didn't make the best eight that was determined by the panel, which I'm a part of. But I guess based on what he's doing at this point in time, he goes in as a live chance. So a middle draw, not a bad thing for him. He wants to be in that part of the track. So as long as he can step well, which he generally does from outside draws, I think he's a massive hope to take this out.
Like that, two tasty tips to get us going. And let's move to the stayers. I love the stayers. So we've got the Top Gun stayers. And let's go back and watch Without a Trace, who is absolutely one of the best staying dogs in Australia. This is the Sydney Cup on $1 million chase night. Goes to the lead and it's all over from there. Corey, you want to talk us through this race?
Yeah, she's an absolute superstar. Basically from day one, as soon as she stepped up to the 600 metres, I think the camp had massive wraps on her and everyone saw the sort of ability she's got. And while she doesn't always jump to the front like this, when she does show that early speed, she's so hard to run down. In behind her at the moment here is Aiden's Warrior, who we'll see from this race as well, as is Late Night News. And this plenty of talent in behind her, but when you are a dog of this sort of talent and you can show this sort of early speed, you're just not going to get run down. So that's going to be the key to her race. She's a striking white girl, and you'll absolutely be seeing her as soon as the box is open. And for those that are backing her, which I'm sure there will be plenty given she's come up favourite, I think they'll be keeping a keen eye on seeing that white girl getting out in front and hopefully skipping away from them. But it's an open race. It's a race that's probably dropped away a little bit talent-wise, given some of the retirements and some of the non-acceptances and a few scratchings. We've already got the second reserve into the field at this stage. So it has dropped away a touch, the Top Gun stayers, but the pointy end of the market and the pointy end of the talent capabilities Without a Trace, Pass Mark, Ethanol Water, they are absolute stars of our sport. And it's very, very hard to go past Without a Trace, to be quite honest with you, but she is nice and short.
Sure. Patch, what do you got to add, mate?
She's a logical option Without a Trace. I mean, we go back to a Victorian distance final at the Meadows back in August, a similar setup with Without a Trace and Ethanol Water. And then I felt that if Ethanol Water was to settle behind Without a Trace, she wouldn't get here. So I think it's a similar case here. Without a Trace to begin like she has, as we just saw in that Sydney Cup. And if she does, I don't think they're going to run her down.
Fair enough. Let's move on, boys. We're going to go to the Hume Cup, the middle distance. Another Group 1, and Patchy wanted me to play Ascend Ecstatic in Heat 6. It does win, but there's another dog in there you want to talk about as well. Over to you, mate.
Yeah, well, this heat here was the last of the Hume Cup heats, and as you can see there, there's a heap of water on the track. There was a massive deluge just before this race, and look, naturally you can think that can make the surface a bit heavy, but when it rains as hard as what it did, it can sometimes compact it for that short time afterwards, and they can really get across the surface. And given all of these greyhounds went really quick compared to others on the night, I think that's a good example. So Nigel de Vere was the leader here from box one. He's in the Hume Cup final, as is Ascend Ecstatic. So Nigel jumps from a middle draw. He'll get out well. He'll go forward. And then it's a matter of what happens after that. But I just think we can handle that race with a bit of an asterisk, given it was the heat on the night that saw different conditions. So from my point of view, I'm looking at this and not looking at that race with a rose-coloured glasses on, so to speak.
Okay, and what would you be your play in the race, mate?
Well, I'm going to be with Zelda Cavilla. He's a type that in his first 20 starts, he just looked like a dog that was slow to begin, run on it, and that's all he was going to be. But since then, he's really turned a corner and he's flying. So he's stepping okay in a field where the early pace isn't going to be red hot. I think he can step in a pretty positive spot and be pretty hard to hold out. So I'll be with Zelda Cavilla.
Outstanding. Corey, mate, what did you make of the race?
Yeah, it was a great set of heats. And as Patch touched on, it was really important to note that the weather changes did happen during those heats. And I always get asked, it's one of the most common questions I get asked is, how do you do the form? Can you find the wet trackers? Can you do all that sort of stuff? It's not the same as thoroughbred racing. The wet trackers probably don't really exist. You don't really see the ratings of the track, but it is important to note, and it can change things because, as Patch mentioned, sometimes a bit of rain can make a track quicker for a short period of time. And the analogy I always use is, if you go for a run along the beach, which I clearly don't, but if you go for a run along the beach, you want to run on the surface that's had a bit of water over it. You don't want to get in the real soft stuff and you don't want to get in the real deep stuff either. So it's one of those things that you've just got to factor into your form. But in saying all that, I'm going for a different race on the night in terms of finding the winner. I'm going to be with Accredited. I think this dog is just building really nicely to this 600-meter journey, has blistering early speed, a blistering mid-race pace, I should say. And we've seen that over the 500 meters. 29.10s odd at Sandown Park, steps up to this sort of distance range. I think mid-race, if they take each other on early, it's going to be the one that's camping on the back of them and might be able to weave a passage through. So Accredited on top for me.
Fantastic. All right, boys, some nice tips there, all at some pretty tasty prices. We're now going to get your official Dream Chasers sets. I know that your tips are not in those feature races and the bookies are a bit slower to put up odds in greyhound racing, so we don't have any odds at the moment for your tips, but they will come up later in the week. But Corey, I might start with you, mate. What is your Dream Chasers set?
Well, I know Patch and I align on one as well, and that comes up here with race 4, number 8, Panadero Ruby. There's a bit of early speed drawn down low, 1 and 2. I expect them to take each other on. There's not much speed in 5, 6 and 7, so I think we'll be able to camp in a really positive position and capitalise if the 1 and 2 do come together. So that's the first of my plays in race 4, number 8, Panadero Ruby. And then I've got one that might come up a little bit too short, but I'll throw it out there and we'll see how the markets open. Race 5, number 1, Mapunga Lara. I think she's a really progressive sort of stayer. Again, not a huge amount of early speed drawn around her. I think she's going to be able to put herself in a really prominent spot. I think this is a really price-related play, though. If we get anything above $1.70, I'm probably happy to chime in, but it's hard to tell what sort of price she's going to go up in this sort of field just because there isn't a huge amount of early speed and she's the progressive one on the way through. And then I have race 9, number 4, Poor Quinby. And again, this is a bit of a strange map. Summer Quinn drawn to his inside, wants to get across the rail, can be a bit hit or miss at box rise, probably a bit more hit up to this middle distance range, but does mix its first split. And the dog in 2, Mapunga Smokey, he's not electric early these days, but he's a grand old campaigner and wants to use the track a fair bit. I think if the 2 pushes off, the 3 wants in and they come together, then we might be able to get the gun run, Poor Quinby. And I expect us to be nearly at an each way price and we might be able to play it 1x3 sort of strategy. Is the way that I'm looking at it. So race 4, number 8, Panadero Ruby. Race 5, number 1, Mapunga Lara. And race 9, number 4, Poor Quinby. My 3 plays on a massive night of racing.
Outstanding. Patch, can I get your first official Dream Chasers set, please, mate?
Yeah, going with a double as well. And the first of them is the one that Smithy touched on, race 4, number 8, Panadero Ruby. I don't have a heap to add. There is stuff all speed in this race. The monster of the field is number 7, Intrepid Bale. But he lacks speed and he'll want to get to the inside. So for Panadero Ruby, hopefully she can fight out of the front and run her own race from that point onwards. The other one that I'm circling around is race 7, number 3, Poor Ike. Now, this is a great race featuring one of Australia's best greyhounds in Tim Zoo. But this Poor Ike is flying at the moment. His run homes are massive and he's desperate for the rail. Inside draw tick, he should be able to find the rail. He's not going to match the speed of the greyhounds in 1 and 2, which is Paul Gordy and Sharapova Star. If he settles behind them, finds the rail where he wants to be, he's a massive chance to run a drum and could win if the cards fall his way. And I expect him to be north of $10. So place preferred, race 7, number 3, Poor Ike, the second of my 2.
Fantastic, boys. And we're going to wrap up pretty soon, but I thought good opportunity for you guys just to give us a little bit of insight into how you do the form on greyhound racing and what are the most important factors to look at. Of course, you could talk about this endlessly. There's a lot of people out there who might not know much, like really enjoy betting on greyhound racing, but have never really approached about how to do the form. So might start with you, Corey. Do you want to just give us a short, sharp wrap on what do you think the most important factors are when you're assessing a greyhound race from a betting perspective?
I think most people that start in greyhound racing probably start backing the one with the early speed up on the speed maps on Sky Racing. But generally, when you start getting into the form and you want to know a little bit more, I think you just got to try and figure out where they're going to map on the first bend, particularly when you're betting into city racing around the two turns, whether that be the Meadows, whether that be Angle Park, Wentworth Park, Q2. Now, I think you want to be out in front more often than not and finding out what the tendencies are for the dogs early. So there's some dogs that every single start, regardless of what box they come out of, they go hard left. There's some dogs that go hard right. And the race that I always talk about is actually the first ever Phoenix. And Wow She's Fast went into that race at I think it was her seventh start. She had box number four. Now, on paper, most people think box number four, that's a horrible draw. But in box number three, there was a dog by the name of Spotted Elk that pushed across the rail. And in five, there was a dog, Aston Rupee, who just took half a step right and just was strong and would hold his line. So she got a paddock of room to move. She managed to capitalize on it, and it worked out an absolute treat. So it's trying to find out where those quirks are, where those dogs are going to settle in the speed map, and then figuring out what sort of times you think they can run with clear running. So there's a few factors, speed map arguably the most important, and figuring out what the quirks and traits are from there.
Pat, you got anything more to add, mate? I know Corey's kind of hit the nail on the head mostly, but can you give us any other insight?
Similar thoughts. I mean, personally, it's not many replays I watch where I'm watching past the first 100 metres. I just want to know what they do early, how they step, which direction they run in. Then you've got a sort of map, and then you've got to work out, are they going to hold on? And that's when you start to look at overall times, run homes and whatnot. So for the greyhound that's going to get the clearest run, will they hang on? If you don't think they're going to hang on, who's going to be on their ass to really chase them down and get the chockies? So that's sort of the basic way that I have a look at it. And I think you just want to follow greyhounds that have strong habits. And that by that, I mean ones that want to dart to the inside, one that want to dart outside, ones that are always going to lead. Reliable dogs. And that's not to say that you back them every time, but when they go into these races, you know what they're going to do, and you look at who's going to be advantaged by their sort of downfalls. So if one wants to get to the inside and has drawn box seven, then you look at the eight and think, is this greyhound good enough to win? Because it's going to get the clearest run of all time. So, yeah, I love reliable dogs, love dogs with habits, and therefore you can form a pretty strong opinion around them.
And you can access all this information, the replays, on the Greyhound Racing Victoria websites, can't you?
Yeah, best thing you can do is download the Watchdog app. If you're on your phone at a pub or wherever you might be, it's the easiest way to do it. So just go into a race. What I'd do is look at a recent replay from a similar draw, ideally at the same track, get a gauge on what each of them do, then start comparing first split, overall time. And I think that's a basic way and good approach to really form an opinion and hopefully have a pretty good outcome on the contest.
Unreal. Beautiful work, boys. This has been an outstanding first show. Before we sign off, let's have a look at what we've got to look forward to next week. So we're going Friday night next week, and we're at Sandown. We've got the Laurels for the Bitches, $75,000 to the winner. And then we've got the Shootout. Hey, Corey, can you just quickly tell me about the Shootout?
Yeah, so the Shootout's a four-dog field, traditionally the four fastest dogs in the land. And there has been a little bit of a change to the conditions in recent time. And Patch might know where the dogs sit at the moment, but some of the fastest qualifiers in recent times, it's almost reverted to a Speedstar format in recent memory, Patch.
Yeah, it has. I mean, it's sort of gone in a direction that I don't think it should be going in. But either way, we're going to get some fast dogs competing in that Shootout. So four-dog contest, we're probably likely to see Barefoot Zulu a part of that race, pending everything goes okay with him tonight at Sandown. The others being Colat Kid, the likes of Kenya Tornado,
Kenya Ponga.
Maybe. Yep, exactly right. So possibly not the dream field that we'd want, particularly with Power and Glory out of the action, Cumbria Jacks out of the action short term, and of course some greyhounds lining up in the Top Gun that may not have set it a good enough time recently as Sandown. So either way, it'll be an interesting contest, but that's next Friday night. A good taste tester before we get into the Melbourne Cup heats.
Unreal. Outstanding work, boys. Fantastic first episode. We'll be back next week. Enjoy the weekend. See you soon. Think, is this a bet you really want to place? For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.